This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court, everybody. We are your supreme crit justices, Murphy, Axford, Tanner, and the lowly worm bailiff, Jake Hurwitz.
That's right. Yeah. He's wriggling.
We were talking about Richard Scarry before we started for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm the wife worm. How dare you take the title of worm away from me?
Get him, man.
I just called him lowly worm.
Murph is the bailiff.
What?
Yes.
The cases, man.
I don't know. I don't have them.
What kind of car does Murph drive, though? Because there's a pickle car. There's a banana car.
I guess
there's
a lot of other cars. I guess I have an apple car.
You have an apple car? No, okay.
Like lowly worm, yeah.
Not like the corporation Apple made a car.
Yeah.
All right. With that, let's throw to Jake in his apple car.
There we go.
The corporation.
Hear ye. Crit is now in session. The honorable.
It's a freaking Cortland. Look at that.
The honorable supreme crit justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding.
Hello.
Honk, honk, chomp, chomp. Let's get into it. Stephen F. writes, may it please the supreme crit justices and displease that guy standing in the corner. I'll have you know I'm in an apple.
It's like an apple box, but a full car.
Yeah.
Makes you talk.
I need it.
That was a film industry joke. For anyone who hasn't heard of an apple box.
Yeah. Sorry to be so inside baseball with it. Baseball is a sport that's played with a stick where you hit a ball.
That was a baseball joke. Okay, go on.
This is a case about an ignored disease.
I just think it'd be funny if, like, instead of an apple box, you had like a car that you actually brought into places if it was small enough and you just like
sat on it.
Yeah, you just kind of like drove around a party.
I feel like you have to explain what an apple box even is to people.
I feel like this bit is a 6 out of 10 and we have to move on, right? Read the case, Jake.
Well, we either have to move on or explain what an apple box is.
We have to be killing.
But it was actually kind of evocative what we were doing because Jake said it's a case of an ignored something or other. I didn't hear it because I accidentally ignored it.
It was ignored.
Okay.
And we were acting that out. Now, continue, Jake, please.
Sure. This is a case of an ignored disease. No. I've been DMing this campaign for my friends for 3 years. Around session 15, my players were fighting a werewolf. The werewolf bit one of the players, and I made him roll a constitution saving throw. He rolled a nat 1. Mm. In the moment, he remarked, I bet I just contracted lycanthropy. Whoa. I neither confirmed nor denied this and moved on with the combat.
Oh.
Okay.
The next session, I described that the moon was nearing full when I was setting the scene, but I tried not to bring attention to it. The players said nothing.
The moon was a shape in the sky.
They then proceeded to go into the dwarven tunnels that were under the mountains and didn't emerge for about a week.
Oh.
I diligently was tracking the moon cycle, and about 15 sessions later and 6 real-life months later, the full moon was coming up again in just a few days.
Hmm.
I once again described the almost full moon when I was setting the scene, but tried not to make it obvious. The players said nothing. On the night of the full moon, the player transformed into a werewolf and killed 2 NPCs and almost killed a party member.
Wow.
Mm. He was pissed that I hadn't told him he was a werewolf, but I maintain that it was his responsibility to remember things that happened to his character. So I asked the court, was I wrong to not explicitly call out the fact that he was a werewolf? They had access to remove curse, and I didn't want them to escape consequences so easily.
You were asking them to pay attention to their, like, PC's body, right? But when we play PCs, we don't actually have bodies. So we're getting there. So the sort of like information that a given person would be receiving from their body kind of does have to come from the DM.
Yeah, the DM tells you if you have a fever or if you're starting to feel strange around the moon.
Yeah.
The idea that you would just go from zero, I guess you can say in my lore, everything is exactly the same. It is the first time ever in all of the zombie, vampire, werewolf movies that there are no signs whatsoever and you just turn on a dime really quick. I think that's not the like own you think it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of just anticlimactic.
Yeah, I think if anything, you kind of robbed yourself of a fun narrative because having it come out of nowhere, maybe you felt like you got consequences, but you missed out on like a really fun, slow ride to get there.
It's called foreshadowing. You did no shadowing.
Yeah.
Because you're down on all fours because you're a wolf now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I really thought that they were going to be going into the cave and like the full moon was like just going to be coming out as they went in and they'd feel like a tingle and like a little sweat and their hair would prick up or something. It'd be like, yeah.
That would be foreshadowing, Caldwell. We don't do that in this campaign.
We don't do that.
This is no shadowing.
Yeah.
The sun is directly overhead at all times. No
I think
shadow.
It's nor shadow.
There's probably nothing in the rule book that says that you have to give people hints or tell them how they're feeling.
I'm sure there is nothing. Kind of,
but even to say like, I bet I just got lycanthropy. Like you should just be like, yeah, maybe you did. Or like, do you want to roll and investigate?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's almost a little bit like just not telling someone they got hit or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something,
yeah.
You could just be like, you died actually.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
In 5 sessions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, in 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember 6 months ago when I didn't tell you how much damage you took?
Right.
It was actually your maximum.
That ogre actually shoved your vertebra out of place. And if you sneeze ever again, you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to M. Night Shyamalan your player.
Yeah.
I think so.
The beach makes you wolf. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the odds of there being no signs of you becoming a werewolf are low.
I think it's also just like not satisfying, like narratively.
All
of a sudden, surprise, it's like hatching from you like a. I guess, you know, sometimes people get implanted with a sack of spider's eggs and they don't know. There's no physical signs.
It happens, I think.
Go on.
How do you...
Wait, what do you...
I think
I'm realizing that I read that in a children's horror book.
Okay.
But wait, hypothetically, I'd buy it if someone said,
if there were just a clutch of spiders on you.
Sometimes people...
Where would they be?
Have their head fall off because the ribbon gets taken off. That happens all the time.
From that
But they know that they can't take the ribbon off.
Yeah.
They're warning people.
I guess what I'm saying is like you were kind of waiting for a big moment of consequences, but you could have been the slow trickling horror. Like a lot of these, like a lot of these vampire zombie movies, the horror isn't like the first turn. It's like the dread of, oh no, wait, I'm changing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all of the zombie movies are, you battle all the zombies, you leave and everyone, you're sitting around a fire and you're like, are you okay? And you say, yeah. And then you look and you have a bite mark on your arm.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you slowly
lose your humanity.
Exactly.
And that's the fun of watching it all play
right.
out.
But what if you immediately lost your humanity and you just kind of forgot about it?
What if you got bit on the ass by a zombie and you just think nothing of it until eight days later?
What if the bite is somewhere you couldn't really see.
Yeah, like on your is there a bruise on my ass or where the zombie bit me? I don't know.
It's right in the center of your back. So you're looking like, no, I think I'm good. Yeah.
Although it is very funny to picture somebody instantly turning into a werewolf, just popping out of their clothes at a moment's notice.
It's definitely funny, but I think that like if your players didn't feel satisfied by it, they could see where they're coming from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little strange to hide this.
Uh-huh. You forgot to make your dread impending, unfortunately.
I feel like I could see an instinct if you're like, oh man, my players have forgotten about this. I'm going to surprise them with it.
Yeah.
Like I can see that kind of instinct, but I feel like you almost intentionally pulled the wool over their eyes.
You know what I would also say is that I do think, although we get a lot of cases about this, so it is its own hotbed topic, I do think that part of the fun is also, oh no, I know I'm going to turn. What the heck are we going to do to keep ourselves safe? Mm-hmm, so you kind of like also took that off the table. And that's always kind of a fun problem solving.
Well, it said they had remove curse. I think this DM just wanted there to be a werewolf and didn't want them to cast their spell.
Then I think you got to own up and just say, yeah, I didn't want you guys to cast remove curse. I wanted one night of you being a werewolf. Sorry.
I wanted to kill these two NPCs.
All right. So I think we're ready to move on to sentencing. I think we're with the players here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? So. We're going to give this DM a second chance here, I feel like. We are going to punish you, but like you can make this work.
If you're willing to say, I wanted to make sure they turned into a werewolf, and like I'll take the L. I know that I deceived them.
As someone who has had werewolves in a game recently, like it's all you want. At any point, you're just like, I want you to wolf out. Clearly, it seems like your story was headed towards this like dwarven mine tunnel.
Yeah.
And like you knew you were going to be away from the moon, but like you still in the back of your head had that werewolf moment that you wanted to play on. So yeah, I think you got to fess up. But like, I think if I'm a player, I'll understand.
It's pretty egregious now that I think about it. They waited 6 months. 6 months to spring.
I don't like it.
Yeah, 6 months.
Yeah. It's also, if you're afraid of the remove curse thing, you could just nerf it a little bit and be like, it requires a roll or it requires an arcana check. It's a more difficult curse. You can't just like wave it away. So there were, there's ways to do it and where like people understand the stakes.
I think you knew what you were doing too. I think you said twice that you described the moon as full and tried not to make anyone notice it.
Yeah. It's really weird to be like, I'm sitting here tracking the moon cycle. Like this person's kind of playing their own game where they're like not telling the characters how they feel or anything, just sitting there quietly tracking the moon cycle. It's like, first off, it's your fucking game. If you want to have a fucking full moon 30 days out of the month, you can do that. I mean,
you're playing Majora's Mask over here. Yeah. You got the moon coming up and down.
Yeah, it's not Earth. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think we sentenced this DM to like randomly turn into a werewolf. Like maybe in 6 months.
Whoa.
Maybe in 3 years.
6 months.
Maybe in 13 years.
And it might be a really inconvenient time. It might be a
not
going to
be foreshadowed. Mm-hmm. You know, in like Animorphs where like you see them like halfway between a person and a starfish?
Yeah.
No halfsies. No. You're going. You're just going to become a starfish.
Your chinos are ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're done.
And we're going to call it. Like, Steven, you're going to be listening to the show in a year and a half, and we're just going to be like,
wolf out.
Oh, Steven, you're a werewolf.
You're going to be in a wolf accident, which is like a car accident, but a wolf's going to ram into you.
If you were going really fast and then became a wolf, you would crash so fast.
Oh, my God.
My freaking apple.
No.
You dented it. It's bruised.
This is a brand new BMW Gala. This is a world where car brands all make Apple cars. So there would be, you know, you'd say the car name and then the Apple name is how it would work.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be in a Fuji for sure.
Yeah.
Cosmic crisp for me, but I've already been on record with that.
Yeah, dude.
Toyota Pink Lady, let's go.
Nick W. writes, to the Supreme Crit Justices and the prepubescent Bailiff Jake, thanks.
Whoa!
I play a warforged artificer named Clunky in a Tyranny of Dragons campaign. Mm. He's the first warforged created by a new artificer and deemed too clunky to be sent out. He was relegated to the back of the shop where he would clean, read adventure stories, and tinker with old artifacts.
Oh,
when it
cute.
Came time for his own adventure, Clunky
How is Clunky going to eat it? Clunky's going to get so killed.
Clunky's so cute.
Oh, no, too is that what we're setting up? Shoot.
Clunky became a werewolf 7 months after touching a werewolf.
From reading a werewolf story. When it came time for his own adventure, Clunky would at times forget he's not in one of his adventure books and say things to people he shouldn't or attempt things he has no business attempting.
Okay, I've actually turned on Clunky. Go on.
I don't know. I like Clunky as a plot engine. He is just driving things forward. He's making things messy. He's making things
I don't know.
Fun.
Clunky sounds a little LOL so random. We'll find out.
I was fully prepared to roll for these actions and more than likely fail. But each time the DM would laugh, say, "That's awesome," and let it succeed.
Classic Clunky.
Wait, and let it
succeed? I love your DM.
Okay. Maybe.
Judges,
let's see.
Am I wrong in wanting the chance to roll and possibly slash probably fail so I can then roleplay that success and failure? Or should I consider myself lucky to succeed as often as I am? I humbly accept your ruling.
God bless both of you. I just
are there
think
no examples of what Clunky's
right.
doing?
No,
what's Clunky
no examples.
Up to? All right, should we make up some examples?
This is completely predicated, in my opinion, on like what's happening. If you're just like, I want to give a speech so good the king shits himself, then like, yeah, you have to roll for that.
Right.
But if Clunky's just like, I do a dance for everyone, and the DM's just like, that's awesome. They kind of like your dance. Moving on. You know what I mean?
I have to imagine stuff like Clunky's in like a bar or like sees some sort of like rough looking customers and like just uppercuts them thinking like, they were barbarians. They were going to rob you.
So then there's
like
no
that.
Role. So then they just say, you killed all the barbarians. I guess that would
I don't know.
Suck.
It's classic Clunky is what I'm
I don't know
at.
What classic Clunky means.
Vintage Clunky. That's vintage.
Absolutely. Clunky reads a lot of adventure books.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe Clunky's doing things that like, Clunky perceives heroes might do.
Clunky's doing like flips or something.
I think
I would say we do that,
but there are consequences
when you do it. No, not well, really. No. Not if it's like you're fighting a purple worm.
The flavor is free, right?
Yeah, I run up. I run up the worm. I do a kick off the wall and then I attack with my axe. It's just like cool. Roll with your axe. That's awesome. Like we don't make you do an athletics check for the like running up the worm part.
So that is a good question. Is Clunky mad because they're like, I take two swords and I decapitate them and then that's working? Or are they mad because they're like, I dip them and kiss them, and they're like, awesome, that works.
Yeah,
I think it's some of that, like, because they also mentioned Clunky might say things that Clunky shouldn't. So maybe Clunky is like at a bar ordering, I don't know, mercury soup or something. That's what a robot.
And then the DM's like, awesome.
So choice Clunky. Like,
that's awesome.
Here's the
that's
thing, awesome. Though, is that like you've made a character named Clunky who's adorable and loves adventure.
He's
like,
awesome.
Sometimes the world does bend for people, and it sounds like Clunky might just have that kind of gift in the world.
Clunky's got riz. Clunky is just walking through the world, not suffering consequences.
What is Clunky not supposed to say? Is Clunky an Austin comedian?
Probably get in trouble for saying this.
Well, I think that this is easily solved because I think that there is like really good camaraderie already. So all you can say is like, I literally think you could text your DM and be like, you don't need to let me get away with everything. You can make me roll for stuff.
Yeah.
Or you could even in the moment.
In the moment.
Yeah. Just be like, oh, can I roll? Like, oh, you could, instead of saying the thing you do, you could say, can I do an acrobatics roll to see if I can do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then you're suggesting, because like as a DM, I would never mind if someone was like, oh, can I do this type of role? Great. Yeah, do it.
Totally.
Yeah, I think it depends. Yeah, I'm wondering if a lot of this stuff is just flavor or not. Because if it's just flavor, I don't think you got to roll for that personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But if you want Clunky to like fall on Clunky's face in like a social setting, then I think, you say, can Clunky do a performance check to do this? Then you get to roll.
I feel like this is a good solution, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know who to punish because we basically just helped and we need to hurt someone.
Clunky has a new Netflix special called Triggered coming out. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
It is classic Clunky according to the New York Times.
He fucking can't keep getting away with it.
Holy shit. Clunky's gone viral.
This Clunky is in some pictures on Instagram with people that I cannot mention.
I personally don't really want to punish anyone because I feel like I'm enjoying what everyone's doing. I don't want to punish a DM who's just saying awesome to the players.
And we don't want to punish Clunky because Clunky seems to just skate through life without dealing with any punishment. Like nobody could punish Clunky.
Yeah.
You can try to cancel Clunky, but it won't.
It just
makes Clunky more popular.
Unfortunately, it only fills up the Clunk Bunk, which is the name of his Clunk Bunker. Fans.
The Clunk Bunker is overflowing with people who like to tell it like it is.
He's unstoppable.
Yeah.
So should we
just cancel Clunky?
It's only going to make
him stronger. We know.
We can't cancel Clunky, unfortunately.
Do you think Clunky just needs to keep pushing the envelope?
Clunky needs to push the envelope farther. Uh-huh. That way the DM asks for rolls.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We're just going to let Clunky keep on clunking.
Let Clunky be Clunky.
We sentence you to follow up your next special.
Let us know how it goes.
I think we can do a legit Clunky follow-up because I think I need more info. I think I need to know what these rolls are asking for. Because if it's just... you're doing stuff that's silly, and so the DM is just like, haha, very funny.
We need the Clunky compilation. We need to know what Clunky's best bits and moments are.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're gonna reserve the ruling for Clunky, but for now, Clunk on. Yeah. And we'll Clunk on as well. Our next case comes from Pee-wee. To the judges who look like they've been hitting the gym a lot lately and the bailiff who could have at least worn a tie.
I cannot make that claim.
Worms can't wear ties.
I know it's not about me, but I cannot make that claim.
I bring the case of the sleep addicted siblings. I DM a game for my two younger siblings and their significant others. It is the first time any of them have played, and it was very touching when they asked me to run a game for them. The game over the last 2 years has been a delight.
Wow.
We're a very close family, all with similar tastes in media and sense of humor. They finished a short campaign to level 10, and we've recently started a second one.
Cool. Awesome.
Here's the problem.
No.
They love taking long rests. I find it very difficult to pressure their resources and spell slots because they will take incredible pains to get 8 hours of sleep between every single fight.
Which is actually really healthy if you think about it.
Yeah, this is like resonating with me so much. Like, yeah, dude, I get it. Fight for your 8 hours. Often leaving dungeons or once even the lair of a mini boss to go back to camp.
Oh.
I don't think they've ever done two combats in one calendar day. Wow. When I explain to them that rules as written, they can only take one long rest per in-game 24 hours, my brother said, that's fine. We'll just wait the other 16 hours.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You're getting absolutely big dogged.
I've tried doing things like kidnapping an NPC they made friends with and having the BBEG say they would sacrifice him that night, and even sending a zombie horde at their favorite town. It has little effect. They are more afraid of running out of spells than letting me kill every named character in the game. I've ambushed them in their sleep too. They just fight the fight and go back to bed.
Yeah.
Should my players learn that it's not very adventurous to sleep your life away? Or should I let the siblings and significant others snooze? P.S. I haven't pushed too hard on this because of the family. I am the Murph. So I worry that if they find out it's bugging me, it will become a bit and they will sleep even more.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You do got to push the envelope a little bit clunky style. You
have to clunky I was thinking that. I mean, you're saying that you're killing NPCs. But like, it does sound like if you let them get away with leaving a lair mid-boss fight.
There's consequences to that, right?
Like, yeah. There should have been crazy. They should have been chased out of there and maybe.
I think, don't worry. They're not attached to the NPCs. It sounds like they don't care about the world outside of their little party.
Yeah.
So I would just make it so like, yeah, if they leave a dungeon, then the bad guy like sets up an awful trap for them when they come back. But, like, your bad guy should be prepping.
What about a dream thing? Like dream demons?
Oh, a dream wizard?
Ooh,
yeah.
That, yeah. Yeah, there is like a whole, like there's Kalashtari, which are like the people of the dreaming world. And so I think that there is, I've looked into it before and there's not that much like lore about it. So it means that it's years to go nuts.
I'm pretty sure that like hags have the ability, like if you've got like a hag coven, they can get up in your dreams real easily.
Yeah,
too.
There's like spells that like let you torment people via dream.
Yeah, so. I would just not, it sounds like you said, I think that there were zombie hordes attacking them in their sleep. You have to keep doing that.
Yeah.
Which is like so much stop. More than so, a zombie horde.
Next time they check into a really comfy looking La Quinta, have it be that the clerk there is secretly a night hag and she like tucks them into bed, but then boom, they're getting nightmare haunted all night long.
You have to just prep.
That happened to me once.
It's literally like your characters inside or the monsters inside of a dungeon or something would prep for the people to come back if they just like left and are just sleeping outside. Have them set up like absolutely deadly traps and just like that's have 30 true. Or 40 dudes in the same room.
And make why them wouldn't regret
you? Yeah, if your players are going to regroup, then so are the bad guys.
Yeah. For sure.
But also, like, are they like attaching a rope to themselves every time they go into a dungeon? How are they getting out of the dungeon so easily?
I mean, if you clear the rooms, you can go walk back, certainly.
I think you can regress, but there would be a toll for then coming back.
We've all watched Ronald McDonald Mysteries. You just put, what was it, your left hand on the mirror maze that they did? Yeah.
It's really crazy that you say that because I've been staring at one of you guys wrote McDonald's toys, origin of Happy Meal ? On a post-it note.
Pretty important.
That sounds like a Caldwell
thing. Crazy.
That's for my thesis. Yeah. I've re-enrolled in school.
Thank you, Dr. Tanner.
I'm going to be absent from the podcast for 6 months as I pursue my doctorate in McDonald's toys.
I do like the idea, though.
Auditing a McDonald's parking lot.
I do like the idea of dream ghouls going after them so that sleep stops being a place of refuge for them. And then they might get, because right now they're probably just scared of what would I do if I ran out of spells? And it sounds like they haven't had the opportunity to find out that, you know, there's... Obviously, you don't want to like live without spells, but like one or two battles, you can get creative. As long as you, the DM, are setting up creative ways for people whose spells are gone kaput, like to be involved.
Yeah. I don't think this will be a popular suggestion, but I wonder if you could give them items or like something that you know, it sounds like they're relying very heavily on their stocked stuff that they'll lose after a long rest. But maybe you give them an item or something that like alleviates that fear.
I think this DM probably wants to challenge them.
Yeah.
If you're a wizard that's just sitting there and you just have infinite spells because you take a rest literally any time. And so you don't have to worry about, you know, combat. Saving anything. So you're just like, I just use all of my highest level spells.
Yeah.
And then I take a rest immediately, no matter where I am.
God. They must have so many hotel points.
The answer should just be that like assassins come and attack them like immediately.
Yeah.
Or set up like a huge trap. Like instead of one zombie or one zombie horde or something like that, it's like, no, it should be assassins literally surround their camp. and have them prepped, like, you know, knock out the person who is keeping watch and stuff like that. I don't know. You can be pretty sick and twisted with it.
Yeah. You're the older sibling and you have to show your younger siblings how the world works. And sometimes it's cool. And sometimes if you leave a dungeon and go to a La Quinta and come back, there's going to be a big spike trap.
And, you know, I can imagine you kind of being lenient on these people because it's their first time playing, but it's been 2 years
it's
now.
It's been 2 years.
So they're not going to run away from D&D. They like playing.
Yeah.
I think it's time to take the training wheels off. Mm-hmm.
Put Freddy Krueger in your game. That's what we're saying here.
Cool.
Yeah. Stick him right up in there.
So I think I'm going to go ahead and, unfortunately, I think we had to rule against this DM.
I think you're right, because it is in their court.
Get out of control.
Yeah.
Damn. This is crazy. So far, we've ruled against two submitters and thrown out a clunky kid.
Yeah.
Wow. What would Clunky do in this situation?
Maybe we should just sentence them to have a nightmare about Freddy Krueger.
Oh.
The DM?
Yeah.
Or a nightmare about Clunky.
Yeah, nightmare about Clunky.
Freddy Clunky.
Freddy Clunky. That's cool. So it's Freddy Krueger, but instead of like really sharp claws, he has like really clunky fingers.
He has microphones and he does crowd work.
And it's one of those videos that you're pretty sure that there's no audience actually, and they're just recording it in their home.
8 hours of a crowd work nightmare with Freddy Clunky.
Wow, a lot of right-wing accounts liked this video.
Much like Freddy Krueger is using the B word a lot. Interesting choice.
Okay, so ordered. Our next case comes from Josh M. Dear Lairds on High and their champion Jacob of Jillington, I bring you the case, also about sleep, everybody. I bring you the case of no long rests.
Whoa, okay.
Opposite problem. Swinging into the opposite direction, the pendulum.
Now we're getting clunky.
My GM, in his infinite wisdom, has decided that while traveling, which we do most of the campaign, no one is able to get a full and restful sleep due to the conditions not being fully safe and comfortable. This varies.
That would be true for me, a loser in real life, not like a fantasy hero.
This is really
the opposite end of the spectrum.
Just like an indoor kid just being like, there's no way you could sleep in a sleeping bag.
So funny that you're like Legolas being like, I slept poorly.
I wasn't in my elven bed.
I didn't have my sleep mask.
Oh, Legolas, I totally get that. When I'm away from my mattress, like in an Airbnb, I also can't sleep.
Indeed, my friend. There was a caterpillar on my sleeping bag. It was very scary.
This varies in results from taking levels of exhaustion on a con save to not regaining spells or HP for weeks at a time.
Okay. Well,
this is sort of understandable and even fun when we're on the side of an ice-torn cliff or trekking through a hag-infested swamp.
Yeah, that's different. I would I would completely agree with that, that the idea that like when you guys go through this, a long rest is going to be more like a short rest. And it is specifically for storyline reasons. What's up? This area is uninhabitable. You guys are on an adventure. You can't just camp here in the snow and feel great about it.
Yeah.
That's way different than just being like...
It fits
like,
the narrative.
Hey, if you're hiking, you ain't gonna sleep well.
Might I suggest, though, that I think that you have to be cognizant of what your players are all playing, because spellcasters get punished so much more than like a fighter. I don't think that you need to play it like that.
Okay. And they continue. If I tell you after a nat 20 survival check in a bucolic fey-touched valley that was described as the purest running water, beds of golden flowers, and clear lines of sight while still being protected from outsiders, we still got no long rest.
Why?
Oof. Even though in the party, one is a druid and the other is a fey-touched sorcerer and I'm a fey champion. Yes, somehow the druid gets spells back in a comfy town bed, but not in a place brimming with nature's power.
Wow.
Also, two of us are woodland elves. This has led us to hoard our spells and my character has yet to even cast his only second level spell because once I do, it may be weeks in game and out of game before I get to do it again. Please do something.
A nat 20 survival, like that's you showing up to your DM being like, you want to do this by the books, I'm asking for a miracle here. Oh, it happened. I still don't get it.
I'm more at home in the woods and it's a nat 20 and like, okay, good.
That's a spider comes up and wraps you up, but it's a nice spider and it kisses you and tucks you in and you get the best night's sleep you've ever had
and it lays a sack of eggs in your throat.
You explode with a sack of eggs.
Yeah. But they're therapeutic eggs. It's like salmon roe. It's delicious.
Ooh, yum.
This is highly unnecessary.
How the heck would you talk someone down from this?
Well, I think it's
they're mad with power. You just, how do you reason with this person?
I don't know.
Person?
It's just the game is just not balanced for this. Like, yeah, you should be able to cast your spells and everything.
Even you're right in Pathfinder, I think Pathfinder is a little more gruesome when it comes to like how you get long rests. I think like it's very hard to like regain all your HP. And like I feel like there are systems in place for this. You get exhaustion. You like get less HP back because it's a less restful sleep. Just like cutting out spells and stuff just seems too brutal.
Yeah,
that's where I draw the line.
I would say if you wanted to create, and this would be completely homebrew, and it would just be like, if this DM specifically wanted to be like, I want travel to be a big deal in my campaign, then I would suggest doing that, doing something with like hit dice where maybe you don't, you know, and that would kind of make sense to be like, you have 100 HP, you get beaten down to 3 HP, maybe just going to bed doesn't solve the problems. Like maybe you actually have to reroll your hit dice when you go to bed or something like that. That's fine. But once you take spells off the table, you guys are right. Like that just, it makes it so you don't even want to, like, why wouldn't you just all play fighters?
Yeah, I think exhaustion, the first level isn't disadvantaged. Right, the first level is
disadvantage on like checks, not attacks.
Like I would say that's even a little bit extreme of a thing to be like every other day I'm rolling everything with disadvantage.
Yeah, so, like, DM, you don't even want that to be sitting there and just being like, no one sees anything, no one sneaks up on anything. You get into every fight you see,
and they're hurting their own story. If we're going into a swamp and you're telling me that I'm not going to be able to sleep, that's scary and exciting, and I'm like, I'm all in. But if it's just like, we've been playing for months and I haven't slept, no one's having a good time anymore.
Yeah.
When the consequences are so unfun mechanically, then you don't get to feel, like, I think that it's fun to be at low HP.
Yes.
So I don't hate being like, okay, like there's going to be consequences to your HP replenishing. But when it becomes like you're constantly rolling with disadvantage, you don't have any spells, then I think the player starts to get meta and not like, it's not like the feeling of like, oh my God, we're strapped. It becomes like, this is actually,
I'm just never going to use this stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it's basically how you feel when you actually don't sleep.
I also think it's a bad strategy because when you're rolling with disadvantage, sometimes you just like stop trying to look for stuff.
Yeah.
And so I would imagine that it's not even good for the table for everyone to be like, does anyone want to give me a perception check? I mean, I have disadvantage, so whatever, just go with whatever they get.
I wonder if the solution here, or at least like a way to like prod your DM, is to be like, oh, you know, the 2024 edition, 5.5 as they're calling it these days.
they changed so far.
No, you got it, because the DM seems like maybe they're staunch. They're a fuddy-duddy in terms of like, you know, the guidebooks, I'm sure. So you gotta like really soft pitch it. You could be like 5.5.
There's a decimal. No,
but you say to them, like, they changed the exhaustion rules a little bit, and it seems kind of fun because in 2024, I think they changed it so that, like, based on the level of exhaustion you're at, like, the penalty gets greater. So it's not disadvantage. It's like a numerical penalty.
That's cool with me. If it's something like your speed is affected, your HP is affected, then I think that, like, I just think that your DM really needs to like go through and be like, what feels like stakes but doesn't make this stop.
I would make the case, just try to get your spells so that at least you can play your characters, because when you play like low magic campaigns and stuff, anytime we've done that, we've always just been like, everyone play a martial class, or play a half martial class, play a half caster or something like that, because when you have people that are playing characters that are built to cast these spells and then you're not letting them cast them, they're just playing worse versions of characters.
What do we think about sending one of y'all, maybe Murph or Emily, undercover? We get you like a full plaster mask and you act like you are one of the other players' cousin from out of town who wants to like hop in for a session, and then like halfway through you rip your mask off and be like, I'm here from D&D court and you're under arrest.
And they're just like, I don't know what that is.
Oh, hold on, let me play an episode.
Or even like, I've heard the show, but I didn't know like what anybody looked like.
Hang on, let me pull it up real quick. Let me Google myself.
Sorry,
hang
did
on,
you expect to be recognized from a podcast?
Right. It'd be really funny to be in disguise and then pull off a mask, and it's like, I'm just a different guy you don't know.
No, check it out. All right, I'm gonna play Adam Ruins Everything. Hold on. Oh fuck, I'm not in this episode. Let me get the next one. Okay,
hold on.
All right, it looks a lot different now. But
have you heard of College Humor?
Do you have a Paramount Plus account so I can show you something I'm in?
Okay, so like an hour later, after you've explained who you are, then you can pursue justice.
Yeah, then you can arrest them.
Undercover player, maybe is what we'll call it.
We're ruling against this DM. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just have to do something that to just be like, hey, can you just give us one session? where we get to like play and we it starts with a long rest and it ends with a long rest.
I think you can, and we can just play just our characters. Be like, please just let us have spells.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Please
you're
let
right.
us have spells. That's, uh-huh. that's the one thing that's like is kind of non-negotiable.
It seems like that's a fairer ask to this DM because it seems like they're going to die on the hill of like, you guys don't rest when you're traveling.
Yeah, so.
It doesn't make sense to my brain, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to let that happen. But it's like, okay, but we're magic, so can we have some access to our spells.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let us keep our spells and then also look into the new 2024 exhaustion rules.
Mm-hmm. I hear they're amazing.
I hear they're so good. Incredible. I know.
Yeah. Why don't we send this DM to a really bad hotel.
Oh.
They love hotels so much. They're like, the only place you can sleep well is at an inn, even if you're a wood elf that lives in the woods.
Yeah.
Would definitely prefer sleeping on like a glade.
Yeah. Should we send a hag after them? Nightmare haunt them as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Haunt their nightmares. Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger is the. Yeah.
It's just Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Freddy Krueger is the crowd work.
It's like the hag.
He's the crowd work comedian.
Oh my God. This is. Why have they never Harley Quinned Freddy Krueger and given him like a hot girlfriend?
Because they were waiting for us to do it, Caldwell.
Yeah.
So Freddy Krueger has a hot girlfriend.
And she does crowd work.
Hey, Mr. K, check out my stand-up special.
Crowd work in the restaurant of this Days Inn where the DM has to stay.
Yes, where this DM will be. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to see the open mic.
Yeah.
You never take me out to dinner, Mr. K. Oh, but now I'm feasting on dreams. Thank you.
Wow. You can't use this character. This is too good. You don't deserve it.
She's too hot.
Who does deserve Freddy Krueger?
Clunky deserves Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And he could get her. His life bends to Clunky.
Do you think that's what Clunky's doing? Is like Clunky like trying to like maybe because some heroes in these adventure books they got a little braggadocio, you know? Yeah. They're going after like, you know, the damsel.
Yeah. To be honest, I think Clunky is trying to fail.
Yeah. Wow.
And Clunky can't help it.
And it's the one
it.
Thing they can't do.
Damn. Wow. Clunky, what do you struggle with? being too damn cool. Damn, Clunky. I never thought about it like that.
Okay. You're built for success, you know? Like an autonome.
She's got too much riz. Okay. So ordered wherever we landed. The next case comes from David K. Dearest Bodacious Justices.
Thanks, Mr. K.
Sorry.
Dearest Bodacious Justices and Jorm, I present the case of the Darkness Dagger. I was DMing for the first time with a group of friends. One player, a warlock, would cast darkness to get away from fights. As a baby DM, I thought I would help them out and give them a dagger that can cast darkness so as not to waste one of their spell slots. Mm. Boy, did I feel like a Jake, lowly idiot. Thank you.
It kind of works. It sounds like jerk. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, starting with a J and then, I feel like such a Jake. Oh.
Boy, is there apple on my car.
Unfortunately, that does absolutely work. They noticed that I did not put any parameters on the dagger and would cast it multiple times a day. Mm. When I pointed out that I needed to change that, they responded with, "But you didn't."
Oh.
Sassy. Oh.
I was setting up a BBEG and had the BBEG destroy the dagger. Your honors, the fury in my player's eyes could not be contained. He became quiet. And now continues to bring up how I did not allow a roll or anything. Your honors, I ask, was I right in destroying the dagger without a roll, or should I have allowed a roll? P.S. I have introduced another dagger that does the same thing, but only has 3 charges.
Yeah.
3 charges is generous, too. Mm-hmm.
The player continues to bring up the original dagger.
This one really seesawed a bit for me, but I feel like the player is just being petulant here. This is a petulant player.
Why did they not want to do any fights and just want to run away with a broken item?
Yeah, even with the charges, it's kind of crazy that you wanted to give them an item that would allow them to do that move more and more.
Can you not see through darkness with dark vision?
You can.
A creature with dark vision can't see through the darkness.
Unless
Got
it's
it.
Magical yeah. darkness, I think is the... The distinction? Yeah. I don't know. There's different types of darkness.
It's interesting because I've had access to darkness as several characters and I've never used it because I'm always like, well, this would just fuck over the people around me.
Yeah, that is true.
So I've like never, like, I've had maybe once or twice that I've like been able to use it, but mostly I'm like, I don't know how you use this except to maybe escape. Uh-huh. So the idea of relying so heavily on a spell that I've like really and not also, like, found a good way.
Casting it like five times a day, just like nonstop, so that it was, yeah. Like even this is nerfed and they do it three times a day.
I mean, it's a really cool idea for an item because I'm picturing you like jamming it into the wall like a light switch and then like flipping it down to like turn out the lights in the room. And
whoa,
that's a very
that's
fun
cool.
visual. Yeah, but you're abusing it. You're abusing the cool thing that your DM got you.
The storyboard artist came out there.
It's also really weird energy for the person to say that they want to nerf it and the player essentially saying, no, you can't. It's just like, what are you talking about? I can literally...
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
I can go into your D&D Beyond.
Yeah, I can, I can delete your character if I'd like.
I feel like I would have been okay if they were like, I want to nerf it, and then they were like, okay, let's bargain. If
sure,
they were
yeah.
if they tried to run a hard bargain, I would be like, okay, they love their dagger. They're
it is always hard to like, yeah, it's hard to, you can't close Pandora's box. So
yeah.
But you can,
but you can nerf it.
I will say the only thing I would say against the DM here is I think you should have pushed back harder when the player was just kind of being a jerk and saying like, but you didn't and stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. you should have known that when you destroyed it, like in combat, that they would freak out and that they would be upset.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Did you get down into the mud and slug it out with this player over that comment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have like, once they brought that up, they're like, but you didn't. I'd be like, I am now though. So.
Oh, yeah. But I am.
Let's have a conversation. Did.
Wait. Okay, yeah. Generous Reed though. Is there a chance that this player is on a 90s sitcom and that is their catchphrase?
And they're just like so rad.
They're like, well, but you didn't. And then they steal
and
your
then they
peanut
cast
butter.
Darkness and run away.
We should give that catchphrase to Clunky, I think.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh shit.
Clunky would just make it work.
Is,
that's
is
the problem.
Chandler Bing?
But you did.
Yeah.
Chandler Bing Bong?
Yeah.
Because he's a robot?
Okay.
I don't know.
I would think like, bleep bloop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boop. Chandler Blip.
Ooh.
I like Chandler Blip.
I actually liked Chandler Bing Bong the most.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Sometimes you workshop just to come back to the original idea.
Yeah.
Now I'm just picturing a robot that just says the wrong thing. It's just like Bing Bong.
It sounds like a bell choir. That's fun for a robot.
It's a robot in disguise. That's Clunky doing deception.
Yeah.
And it's just, honestly, it works because he's awesome.
He's awesome.
Yeah, God, Clunky can do no wrong.
But yeah, as much as I do think you should have put your foot down a little bit earlier, this player seems like a jerk.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, it's also weird to just bring that energy to the table to be like, what I want to do is avoid everything you throw in front of me. Mm-hmm. I would like to use darkness five times a day to never fight ever.
The fact that the compromise was three times a day, I just, that means that they were doing
that's
it 10
so
times
much.
A day.
It's really generous.
Which I just have to imagine, as another player, I'm like, cool, I guess one of the combatants disappeared and ran away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like negotiating with a toddler, which I do all the time.
Yeah.
You can have one marshmallow. No, I want every single marshmallow that there ever was. I want to do 1,000 darkness.
Yeah.
You can do darkness fine. Let's do darkness three times. Mm-hmm. No, I hate you. No, I
and
hate
honestly,
you.
And honestly, the solution with a toddler sometimes is just to turn out the light and be like, it's bedtime now. That's what you got to do as players.
So that's just his bedtime at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Sometimes a big bad just eats all the marshmallows while you're sleeping.
Yeah,
marshmallow moths.
All right, so we're against this player,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
All right, so we have to.
They should
have
known too
player.
when they got so sassy with, but you didn't. That was the moment that they lost.
They
the
lost
dagger.
Us. Yeah, I mean they won the audience over for their sitcom, but they lost us.
Yeah, they got the applause break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are gonna put Clunky on your show. You've been replaced by Clunky. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because honestly, Clunky's having a moment. Clunky can eat more pussy than Grisby. I'll say.
Yeah.
It.
Whoa,
I think
dude.
Also, like,
sorry.
Clunky wants to fail, so Clunky's not gonna just spam darkness.
It's crazy that Clunky is the new Grisby.
It's kind of crazy. I'm glad
they could team up. They could do a buddy comedy or something.
I'm glad we're talking about it.
The thing is though, like, does Clunky even need Grisby?
But Grisby's happening, Murph.
Is Grisby still happening though? It's been months. Like, Grisby's kind of fallen off.
I think Grisby's over. I think like Grisby had his moment and now
it's 2026.
It's time for
Clunky.
Yeah.
Wow. We're bringing Grisby to the scrapyard. Clunky's first order of business is grinding Grisby in his
And Clunky eats ass. Let's just.
Yeah.
It's a new day.
True, we're talking,
it's a new day.
Yeah, we're talking about Grisby eating pussy. for what reason when Clunky eats ass? Exactly.
Clunky does rim jobs. You heard it here first.
And the DM just says, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
I cast darkness and eat ass so no one can see it, but I am doing it.
Yeah, that player had that. Okay, so the player has been punished. Every time they cast darkness, they have to say, I cast darkness and I eat ass. You can't prove I didn't.
Yeah, because that's what Clunky would do.
You can't see in magical darkness.
Right. Classic Clunky behavior.
Okay, so ordered. Our next case comes from Andrew S. Greetings, benevolent judges and the dopealicious. Yes, I made this up just for you, bailiff. Whoa. Thanks. I bring to you the case of the falling airship. I DM a campaign for a party of five people who are attempting to flee a city where they had made many enemies by stealing an airship. None of the party members' backstories or characters in general would have had knowledge on how to operate this airship. But one of them rolled a high insight check on the levers that were in the airship, so I gave them a brief general description of what they thought the levers would do. The player who rolled the high insight check was upset that he did not know how to work the airship entirely, while the other players did say that it made sense for none of them to know how to work an airship. Mm-hmm. When they went to land, they pulled the lever they believed made them land, and I told them they started to free fall as they pulled the wrong lever. Judges, was I wrong for not telling my player how to control an airship after a high insight check, or was I in the right to only give him a general idea? As always, I await your gracious decision.
You know, I think it's a little touchy because you told them, their instinct told them something definitive that was definitively not true. I would say that's the only snare.
Yeah, I told them what they would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you handled it well, except for that you shouldn't have said something that they thought affirmatively that was actively the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, like, it feels bad to be punished for a high roll.
Yeah.
Anytime that happens. It feels weird that you made them use insight, but I guess like for them to like be instinctually thinking about what would work.
I don't hate it because it is kind of like, it's what I want from an action movie, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I want to get onto an airship and be like, well, I've driven a motorcycle before. Shouldn't be too much different, you know, and then roll a really good insight.
It's
the
sort of like, it's all red wire situation.
I would imagine that the thing that turned the engine off would be like a little bit labeled or a little bit different. You know what I mean? Like it is just be like, I'm trying to, if you said they don't know how to land it or something, or like put it into some kind of landing gear, sure. But to just be like, you turn the whole thing off.
Right.
Like I think I could not turn off an airplane.
Well, yeah.
If you're doing the wrong thing with the lever, like you could make the airship turn or like something could get jostled or knocked overboard. Yeah. But being like, you either land it or you plummet from the sky by pressing this lever feels like kind of crazy.
Those levers and buttons usually have a glass case over them.
I would also have done more like rolls, like instead of just being like, there's seven levers there. Do you press lever one or lever three?
Right. It's like rolling for a mishap or something. Like, like I've like taken down this sail and now the airship is harder to steer.
Because also characters are, when we're sitting here and we're being like, yes, of course, me who sits here and fucking edits on GarageBand every day, I don't know how to fucking fly a plane.
We can't say GarageBand. We can't say it. We don't get clearance for that. We didn't get clearance for saying GarageBand.
Really?
I'm joking.
Oh.
What is that bit? just that we can't say.
Yeah, we didn't get it cleared.
Got you.
Tim Cook's last acting role as CEO was to say we can't say it.
Okay. The fuck was I talking about? Me as a useless person, like I can't like fucking build a tent or do fucking anything. But like, I don't know, if I'm a grizzled fighter in a like steampunk campaign or something, it's just like, I don't know, you might, if you have like high enough rolls or proficiencies and stuff, you might know how to figure out some stuff.
You've got enough proficiency, and like if you're like a thief or somebody that steals something, you've got enough like know-how to figure it out on the fly. I also think you could put up a tent. I think you could do that work.
Yeah, I could put up a tent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was.
You could put up a tent. You just wouldn't enjoy doing it.
I wouldn't enjoy doing it. I would hate it. I'd whine.
And you wouldn't be able to sleep in it.
And I wouldn't be able to sleep in it. I'd have exhaustion the next day. I wouldn't have any of my spells. But yeah, I mean, it does make sense that you'd be like, okay, they wouldn't know how to fly this.
But I think that they wouldn't actively have an incorrect insight.
Yeah.
I think you did everything right, except for just being like, and also you think that this one lever does something that it doesn't.
If you're going to put it down to one roll, I think what happens is that it reduces the overall damage that they take. Like, they're still going to crash. It's going to be bad. But like, you take 2d10 off because they managed to like save the landing at the last minute or something like that. Yeah. You got to reward this roll a little
bit. Whenever there's stuff like this, when like players do something cool, like they're trying to escape and they steal an airship and they fly off, I'm always confused why DMs are like, how do I kill them for doing something cool? I'm just, this instinct is just not my instinct.
Yeah.
And I think we actually, a lot of times, I think for a lot of people listening to this right now, they're like, absolute slam dunk. The players are 100% wrong. These guys are so stupid for even talking about this.
Think about all the gameplay that it inspires. If you're like, if I press this button and the airship doesn't plummet, but just something goes awry, then somebody else casts a spell to fix that. And then the fighter pulls on a sail to like keep it flying in the air. There's a lot of like story that happens.
Exactly.
I think if it did something other than the exact opposite, I think that it would have still felt satisfying. It's like they could be wrong about something, but not dead wrong about something. With a good insight.
Again, I'm of two minds on this because, like, technically, I think you're right. You can just be like, you guys don't know how to do that, so you can't do it. But they were able to like get it up and working. So now you're just like, cool. And now it free falls. I guess they like landed anyway. Presumably this didn't end in a total party kill.
Yeah.
So there is a world where it's just like.
I feel like they would have told me if it did. But I guess I would have put it past them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of half and half on this one. Because technically this is fine. But I understand why it's kind of anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm. I think if I were at the table, I would just side with the players. Even if it's not raw right. So that's how I have to rule.
But it's hard to side with the players because I don't like that the one player was like, what? I don't know how to fly this.
Yeah,
100%. So like, I don't agree with that take. Yes. So I don't know who the fuck decided.
That is a really interesting thing that I've sort of lost as the more we've talked about this, that the other players were kind of like, well, it makes sense. You don't totally know how to do this. So
let's just rule this one person.
Yeah, there might be more of like a one person sort of stonewalling it and being like, I don't want any challenges.
I guess we don't know what happened once the airship fell out of the sky.
Yeah. Do we want to ask for more information on this one too?
We've already got too much information coming our way for Clunky.
It's a good point. Yeah.
I don't want to overload Clunky stuff. I think we're going to say if this ended in a total party kill, that's too much. We're going to assume that it didn't.
Yeah.
We're going to assume that it didn't. I am going to say I completely agree with Jake where this is a moment that you could have had this like really cool movie thing of being like the sail starts to go down and the airship gets caught in a tailspin and things like that. And you have people casting spells and trying to fix it. And it could have been this really cool movie moment. And instead, you just kind of got to be technically right and have an argument with someone. So lightly agreeing with you and mostly because of the fact that the other players clearly weren't totally in on this. So it sounds like maybe this one player was just like, I should be able to do this, which is ultimately the bigger sin.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. I agree. I think I want to sentence that person.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though I do think that one decision to make them think something was true that wasn't true kind of punishes a good roll, which I don't love.
Yeah, and it doesn't make it so just because you get one good roll that you're instantly proficient in that vehicle.
Yeah.
It is just like, you know, keep going back to Jake's thing. It's just like, this could have been a cool moment where there was like a minor failure.
Yeah.
And then if you fail to roll again, if you fail a couple rolls, then you fucking crash. And then that's a fun scene that feels earned. Instead, what ends up happening is just like, I've just arbitrarily decided that you're just going to guess wrong when you try to pull this lever or whatever.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I do feel like sometimes a player can fluster their DM
for sure.
They don't know that they're doing it, but they just like, you know, you say something, you just throw them off their game. And that seems like what's happened here because this player was coming down a little too hard on them.
Yeah.
And this is why I think you need to always have a mishap table ready to go. And sometimes when you press a button, just a hot tub appears. And that's the solution.
Ooh,
just have a hot tub button built in there.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's, you know, because like that's not going to help them, but they're not going to be upset about
it. But hop in that hot tub and put your knees by your ears. Get ready. Get your ass ate by Clunky.
Things are about to get clunky.
So we're ruling mostly with the DM.
Yeah. Mostly with the DM. Mm-hmm. Mostly against this one player.
Yeah.
And they have to put in a hot tub by an airship.
I guess that was
kind of what Caldwell was saying.
Mm-hmm. I think I was right on that one. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Install a hot tub.
Install a hot tub on the airship.
You better figure that out. You don't know how to land it, but you can get the hot tub done.
Do we have airships beyond airplanes and blimps in the life that we live in?
Oh, you mean like other flying vehicles?
Yeah.
Zeppelins, helicopters.
Are zeppelins different than blimps?
Ooh.
I think so.
Hot air balloons.
Hot air balloon is a good one.
Okay, hot tub and a hot air
balloon. Oh, hot tub and a hot air balloon totally works.
Yeah, just fill the basket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can fill that basket with water.
It's perfect.
They should all be hot tubs, honestly.
Okay.
Go reinvent the hot air balloon. Good luck.
The hot tub balloon.
Hot tub balloon.
Yeah.
Oh, what a world.
Go invent the hot tub balloon. We're going to church. That's where we're going.
Especially super hot water from like 300 feet up landing on
your Jules Verne. Don't splash any of that. Don't splash that out.
There's a flush in there for some reason.
Okay. Time for a confession. This one comes from Joseph K. To the honorable, esteemed, ethereal judges Axford, Tanner, and Murphy, as well as the bailiff Jacques.
Hey, Joseph K.
Go ahead.
I bring to you a confession asking Dice Christ for forgiveness. I made a homebrew campaign for my friends who had never played D&D before. During the campaign, which was focused on stopping a wicked witch from giving a vacation town diarrhea via mystery,
cool.
I clearly allowed whimsical things to happen that would not normally fly in a proper campaign, all in the name of sparking their interest. We planned a 4-hour one-shot, and it was going well, until we hit hour 3. During that third hour, the steam, hot air balloon style.
Ooh.
Wow.
Hot tub balloon style. The steam of this whodunit had cooled. In a moment of weakness, I began to fudge the success thresholds for their roles so we could bring the session to a close and grant them victory. Mm. As a result, the reveal and the BBEG fight were not as rewarding as they should have been, lacking the depth, tension, and earned triumph they deserved. Mm. The worst part is that we never played again, so my sin was not even rewarded. Am I doomed to an eternity of poopy campaigns, or can I be forgiven for this? I await the verdict.
You can definitely be forgiven for this. If anything, you're like, it didn't get like the moment it deserved. It probably wasn't going to get it. People were losing steam. People have limited resources. They might be showing up.
This might not be the crew to do a marathon session with.
Yeah.
I would say 4 hours of like a home game shouldn't be that heavy of a lift, like as far as a player.
That is definitely true.
Yeah, we don't know what their sleep situation is.
That's
they might
what
have
I'm
been
saying.
In a swamp. Or there's
are
an
they
act
coming,
situation.
Yeah.
Oh. Was it a Thursday and they're coming from work?
Yeah, that's true. That's
like
true.
People could, or like, were they up all night with the kid or something?
Yeah,
like
was
that?
There a hag involved?
Yeah. So I would say, obviously, this is not your fault. Like, you also just like read the room and knew not to like have them sit there failing for like hours. Mm-hmm. You just kind of saw
honestly,
that.
And many people who write into the show don't have that.
Yes. They'd be like 9 hours later and everyone went and sat in different areas of the house. Right. And I was walking up to them asking them what their role was.
And one of them sat in my bedroom. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. One of them held hands with my wife.
I would say you're not doomed by any means. In fact, it's very intelligent of you to like read the room and to know to kind of wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's just the way it goes sometimes. Sometimes you want to run like a big epic thing and maybe people aren't there for it because of other things, or maybe like super front load something and everybody's super engaged at first and then you lose them a little bit later on.
And you're not doomed because this is all experience that if you want to do it again, great. You have experience.
You've got your diarrhea vacation world ready to go.
Yeah.
Maybe next time just run like a 2-hour thing or something, or just learn from what you did. Maybe there's like a little stretch in the middle, or maybe there was like too much up top and everybody got overwhelmed and excited. And then by the middle of it, they kind of didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you also don't know, you could have nailed this and they still might not want to play again because it's not for everybody.
You ran a
session and that's what happened. You know?
I've run games for people and it's just like very clearly they're just kind of not on board with D&D. It just ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
So you just run a short session and then you find your people later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So forgiven.
So forgiven.
So forgiven.
Forgiven.
May Dice Christ bless you with finding someone to play your diarrhea game with you. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't do it.
We are
to listen to some bonus cases.
Yeah.
Some bonus cases over there.
We're going to be clunking it up on the Patreon feed.
Yeah. Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
Ooh. Yeah, we have a show. We've got a show in London.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. We do.
Tickets,
a show.
The tickets are on sale right now, and I think there's actually not a lot left. Mm-hmm. We're going to London on September 30th at the London Palladium. Check out tickets at nadpod.com/live.
Sweet. See, it's going to be fun. I would love to plug my friends Raj and John, who each have new animated shorts out on Dropout right now.
Sick.
Raj has one called Legend of Legendarius, and John has one called The Burbank Beetle Boy. They're both very different and very silly. Please go check them out.
Great. Sweet. Check those out. And you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at Siege Murphs Me, at Caldy Scaldwell, at Extrudes Emily, and at Jake Rhodes is Jake. And you can talk about the show online using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of a nation. We are the youth of a nation.
Dungeon. It is the end of the show, and that means it's time to thank our benevolent, lovely Council of Elders. And they are Brad D., Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord, later Mick Skater, Matt M., Cutter W., Olivia A., Daniel G., Danielle, the Dastardly Dame, Carpe Liam, Victor T., Balnor's Boy, Hoyt's Friend, His Fortune, Justin I., Danny Danster, TJ M., Hele, the Cray Fay, D. Rohi, Now You Have to Say It, Jordan L., Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Stevie Wags, Hellish Rebuker, the NBDM PhD, Jack L., Nicholas C., star of every film ever made in Bohemia, Alka Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Tyler F., Lori A., Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Runcible Shaw, Jake's Jerk Jelly, hashtag CCC, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Stephen C., Teehee, Nick W., Nico, the Underpaid English Teacher, William W., Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Nova, Percival, Frederickstein, Von Mussel, Klawowski, DiRollo III, J. Dragonborn, Guardian of the Vibe, Honoring the Cock, Ben A., Dave H., Dustin S., Not That Nick, Danny F., Hawkeye Pierce, Big Bad John, DPC is Awesome, Brand New Wife, Sean, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbeldar, Summer RG, Misa of House in Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, aka Valacy Raptor, Be Perky Always, Pat L, Lauren H, Serve 16, Annie, the Feywild Therapist, Pierogi Frenzy, Jack M, Biocourt 7, Bean Rat Was Innocent, Trubhop Dropper, Jack H, King of the Mole People Under Iron Deep, Dressed in Blue, and Fighting His Way Through a Bracket Style Tournament, Valen, Paj, the Bitchin' Bunny Bard, Druidic, Peyton, Carlin C, Omri M, Noah, the Gentleman Fister, hashtag Honor the Cock, James G, Ixy, Archfey of Dreams, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Han, Marcos, PhD, Eventually, Learns the Balance Druid, Frida M, Maggie, Holly, the Green Laughing Hyena, Papa Bambino in Chinos, Russell H, Cody C, Lorelei the Succubi, and Kira the Succulent Snack, Ellen S, lobbying for another Atlanta live show, Mr. Adams, James F, Wayfarer now has to do something with the trolls, get rid of them, turn to page 42, keep them, turn to page 69, Soft Lose, Uncertain Hand, Oreo, City Name, Barpo, Good Barrel, Bard, Barian, Charlie Brown's Best Friend, Renee the Monster Captain, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, and Jared the Soap Opera Cleric, who are prepping an epic playlist for the final battle. Blue A, Fico, Lucy F, J, K, Guard, Ali, the fairies are free from their caroling chains and are now on spring break, pounding butt heavies with the band of boobs. Cantrip, Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian. Lexi H, MJ, the BFG. Roger L, Nodrog, the pass a fist barbarian. Nick J, Zudrick's unofficial fifth crow. Gustos, Gianluca, Hannah Ross, 3, Windex Dreams, Shenanigans O'Connor, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Sky, the eldest coffee master of Bohemia, serving Americanos to Hard One in the Astral Realm, the Spud Fucker himself, Johnny Dude K, the mischief of NADPOD's familiars, Pavu Escanor, the Goliath Paladin providing service with a smile, Jake Well Murphily, Tim M, Dragon Knight 86, Richard, Scrungle, the main event. TR, MLG, Cheeto, Shelby, Kenna's first favorite Sprite girl, blown away by the docent D. Emily at Radio Critty. Her and those hot boys really make me laugh. Thank you for that. Jet S, Vacher, Brand doesn't even understand what a pervert is, Darkness Man. All right. Eleanor, Violet, Stormy52, Meemaw Skydays, Fuck You, I Love You, Eat a Rat, Megan N, Anthony B, Balnor's Best Friend Steve, Stephanie of House Inzunza, Benjamin A, Sacrificial Otaku, Bringing Otaku Culture to a Fantasy Realm Near You, Mikkel A, SSS Tier, Crickwater Enjoyer, Josh H, Pilot of the Nightmareverse Flight, Ethan the Mailman, Adrian M, Maple the Shy Bookworm, Nick AJ, Ashasaurus, Billy B, Mithril Mage, Tori, the Tungsten Dragoose, My Other Car is a Twink, Michael L.S. the Second, Carl B., Plumber of the Realm, Sunworm, Ace Dregs, High Lord of Kritzberg, Venn Diagram, DM Charby, Catamilius the Consumed, Cam, the Frogborg Man, Dean, Jake W., Hi Mom, Tuesday Cross, Only Here for the Surf and Murph, Amanda had fun at Faychella with Onyx and Jens. No, sorry, I meant Shelby and Fern. S'mores, Tyler Mick M, Godog, Zibby Tabakery, Bad GG, Snake Release, Kaylee of the Oaken Ore, Katarina C, Two Nuts, One Plate, Lance, Carly C, Olaf Dies in Frozen 2, Rufus, Casey J, Pawpaw's Litigation Associate. Greg W just finished re-listening to C1 as a subscriber, and it hits completely different with all the short rests content especially. Thank you. Baruch Thunderhelm, fifth generation Minotaur, working at his abandoned labyrinth tour guide. Chewback Aubrey, Cappy B of the Schooner, Louis R. French, Richard E., Jen's Left Glove Taylor, Kaju Dawn, the Almanac Artifact Archivist, the Waterworth, your four-legged Greg companion, Nick, Molly, not the party drug, you pervert, the Raging Ranger, Echo Ashmore, Chef Julie B., Mama Mayhem, 404 Erorik, Jens Rules Kinda, Lorelei, Thomas C, Little Dark Lotus Creations, Kendra M, James the Polymorphed Boot, Joshua H, Jacob M, Lou H, Ben V, Prince Slagathor the Third, Shinka Kitsune, or Skylar the Only Male Kitsune in Bahumia, Christopher K, Toxic Ghost, Daniel Mick A, Chris A, Angie H, Fern M, Kenna's least favorite Sprite girl, Nova Vioto, Sarah the Changeling, Shy Sign 23, I'm Just Sam, Anthony H, Anthony J, proprietor of the Crix Lazy River Floating Tour, Nate P, and of course, Cage B. Thank you, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.